Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1 through 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own, to keep me near thy side. 1 through 5 of Psalter 203. Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first chapter of the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine, and the upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me, and they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. And for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. And thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-sufficient God, who dwellest above and we upon thy footstool as thy creation, whom thou hast created good and upright, so that thou couldest say, behold, it is very good. And thou knowest our state and condition, even at this moment, thy human race that was created out of thy hand in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, having fallen so dead in sins and in trespasses that we are not able even to comply with that which thou dost command us in thy holy law, in obedience to all thy commandments and statutes and ordinances, so that we have no heart to comply to that which thou commandest us in thy holy gospel, that we ought to bow ourselves before the yoke of thy Son, which is an easy yoke and a light burden, that we ought to acknowledge our deep fall, and that we are unable and unwilling to return unto thee, that we ought to receive that which thou profferest unto us day by day in thine only begotten Son, in whom thou art so well pleased. And then he saith that we ought to seek thee, that thou might be found, and to call upon thee while that thou art near. Lord, we have no desire for this by nature, our hearts so dead in sins and in trespasses, that there is in us only desire and love that goes out after the world, but we have no desire and no affection for our Maker and our Creator, so that we are prone unto all evil and unable to choose that which is to our eternal good. Lord, we look up unto thee. It is thy holy Sabbath day. It is a day that thou hast created already before that fall, for thy worship and the day that is to be set aside, that we may lay aside all the cares of this world, and that our hearts may be united in the worship and the service of thee. And after we have fallen away from thee, thou hast used this very day for the proclamation of free and sovereign grace to the chiefest of the sinners, that thou sayest that thou art come to seek and to save that which is lost. O Lord, that thou may look upon us then in this thy holy day, that it may not be a day that is without fruit in the life of each and every one of us. It is thy power, O God. It is the might of thy hand and thy almighty strength that we depend upon and that we beseech thee for in this morning hour, that thou would stretch it forth and that thou with thy hand may raise us from the dead. Oh, that thou may speak with thy voice, which is powerful and which is full of majesty. Lazarus, come forth, that we and our children may come forth from the dead, and that we might live in a spiritual manner to serve and to worship a spiritual being. Thou who art a spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Lord, thou knowest what we stand in need of. Thou knowest our inability and in our unwillingness. Thou knowest our active rebellion. Thou knowest, O Lord, that it alone can come from thy hand. Oh, that thou may then look on us in this day with our dear children. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may speak in the last days in which we live with our children, wherein we see and feel and experience so little of thy Holy Spirit, but we stand in need of it even as they did in the days of yore. Oh, that thou may then come unto us in the days wherein thou hast given thy holy gospel for the proclamation in the end of the world, for the bringing in of thy church, and for the application of that which thou hast done in this world, wherein thou hast given thyself even unto death for the sake of the chiefest of the sinners. Lord, that thou may so look upon us in thy mercy. We do not deserve it. Our sins, they rise up against thee day by day, and we do not acknowledge what they are. We have so little insight into our own selves and into that pit of corruption that lies within. Oh, we need eyes, O Lord, to see, and we need ears to hear and hearts to understand. And to whom can it come from but from thee alone? Oh, that thou then would look upon us from heaven, thy dwelling place in this day, that thou may not look on us in our own sin, but wilt thou look upon us in and through thine only begotten Son, that thou mayest have mercy amidst well-deserved wrath. Oh, would it not be so to thy honor and to thy glory when we with our children, who are in that miry pit and clay, when we also would be taken up, and when that new song would be put in our mouth, would it not be to the praise of thy grace and of thy glory, and forever and forever? Oh, would thy holy angels not sing about thy throne this day, when one sinner would be converted? Lord, wilt thou show also that we are thy servant, that we have not run of our own accord, but that we have come at thy command, and that we have also come to this place at thy command, and that thou hast said unto us, be of good cheer, for as we have testified
unto those in Jerusalem, as so must we also bear witness at Rome. Lord, was it not thy own word? And wilt thou give then that it may not be a savor of death unto this people, but that it may yet be a savor of life unto so very many, that thou would take us out of our mad career, and that thou would draw us, that we may receive the desire of thy church, and that the hungering and that the thirsting after all that is in this world may be taken away in a moment, that our hearts may be affected with that first love of thy true children, and that our hearts may go out unto thee in holy longings and thirstings. That we may drink from that fountain of living waters. Then we shall indeed be satisfied, and then thy name shall be so magnified and glorified. Then thy dear Son, who was so willing to leave the place of his glory and to come and to give himself even unto death, how necessary and how precious he shall be in the sight of those who are not able to come back into thy communion, who feel something of their wretched state and condition, who are not able to live up to the standard of thy law, who cannot satisfy thy justice. That thou would make him suitable for sinners in our midst in this day, that thou would spread forth thy healing wings over those who are wounded and bruised, and that within the hearts the balm of Gilead may yet flow, the souls may be given to be led beside the still waters, that they may receive a little of that blessed and true comfort of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, to whom shall we go? That thou may look upon us in thy mercy, and that thou may remember us young and old, the children. Lord, we cannot convert our children, but in one moment thou can give to them thy Holy Spirit. Thou can break the hardest heart even of those who have grown old and cold under the preaching of thy holy word. Lord, it belongeth all to thee. Thou art the almighty God, and thy grace that is so very, very great to those who are so very undeserving. Look on us then in this day. Bless thy word. Strengthen thy people. Instruct them out of thy truth. Give those comfort who have no comfort in this world and from themselves. And wilt thou look upon all the needy ones? Look upon the youth of our congregations, those that have traveled in this week, and those that are not with us but are in our sister congregation far away in this day. May thou remember and bless them in thy mercy. And those that were not able to go with them, look upon them also. Bless thy word in the days of their youth. And wilt thou steal their hearts and take it away from all that which is it is drawn to by the prince of darkness? And wilt thou remember widows, widowers, and orphans in mercy, and all those that need thee in special ways in this world? Those that are weak, those that are in hospitals, also those who suffer from very serious diseases, the sister also of our brother elder who lies in the hospital. Lord, remember her also in all the pain and suffering. And may thou bless the afflictions of all those that are handicapped and blind and deaf and dumb, and strengthen them and support them in all the needs and cares of this life, and all that are in distress with needs known unto thee. Lord, that thou may go before us also in this day. Look upon us, and wilt thou strengthen us in the body and in the mind. Give us a help from the sanctuary, and wilt thou feed us that we also may feed others, and that thou may give thy spirit in a rich measure. Do forgive and take away all that is sinful. We ask it in Jesus' name alone. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 53, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by 1 through 5 of Psalter 53. the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Song of Solomon, congregation, that is an allegorical book. It is a book that speaks about a great mystery. And what mystery is that? It is the mystery of marriage. To in our community in the past 2 weeks, may experience what that is for the first time. And soon also, we hope to have another one in our midst, marriage. But that relationship, that union that is in marriage, Paul says, is a great mystery. And why is it a mystery? Because, he says, it is speaking about Christ and his church. And that relation that there is between Christ and his church is a relation indeed that is a great mystery. So that man is not able to know what that is outside of the experience of this marriage. That church, that bride of Christ is found, we read in God's word, in her uncleanness. We read it is found when she is lying polluted in her own blood. And that the Lord is coming and that he is speaking and that he is saying unto her, live. He says then that he has spread his skirt over her. And he says, thou becamest mine. Thus, he was married unto her. Thus, he has made a covenant with her. And that covenant and that relationship that is also often portrayed in the Old Testament, along with the sin of the church against that relationship, as we read the sin of adultery and the punishment of the Lord because of this sin of adultery. But then we read how that he is coming again unto his bride, despite the fact that she has left him, and despite the fact that she has sinned against him, despite the fact that she has been unfaithful to him, that he is returning. And that he is drawing her once again. And that he is affecting her heart. That she may receive that impression that those former days, they were better than now. And what is the fruit of this? That is what we read of in our text for this morning hour, which you can find in the second verse. The second verse of the first chapter of the Song of Solomon. And thereof the first part, Song of Solomon 1, verse 2a, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. So far, the words of our text, the longing of the bride of Christ. First, who this bride is. And second, what this bride longed for. The longing of the bride of Christ, who this bride is, and what this bride longed for. In his general epistle, the Apostle John speaks about three different sorts of persons within the church of God. He speaks about fathers, about young men, and about children in grace. Thus, fathers in grace, they are those who are very rich in experience. They are grown believers, as it were. The young men, they are those who are very strong, those who are well advancing in those ways of grace. Then there are the little children. They are those who are young. They are those who are just brought into that kingdom of God. They are young in practice. They are young in knowledge. They are young in experience. And yet the root of that matter, that is lying, that has been planted in their heart. And now these three sorts of persons we also read of specifically in the Song of Solomon. Thus we read about the bride. And the bride, that is she who is well experienced in that knowledge of the bridegroom. But then we read also about the virgins and the upright. Thus, the virgins, they are those that keep themselves pure. They are alone for that bridegroom. And along with them are the upright. Thus, they are sincere. They are not those who are given over unto hypocrisy. Thus, we have the bride. And we have the virgins and the upright. And then finally, we read also of the daughters of Jerusalem. Daughters of Jerusalem, they are those who are weak. They are those who are scarcely formed. However, they are daughters of Jerusalem. They have been born in Jerusalem. What does that mean? They have the rights of a citizen. There is no one that may say they are not part of that true church. And yet they are so ignorant. Yet they are in such need of instruction. Thus we have that church that is also speaking in the words of our text. That church that says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And then who is it that is speaking here in the words of our text? That is actually the bride. That is that bride that is well advanced in that knowledge of her bridegroom. That is one that has tasted that the Lord is gracious. And now this bride is found here in a certain condition. Because there is not only the state of the life of that people. That is that they are not in a dead state. But altogether, that whole church of God that is in a living state. They have been brought out of nature's darkness. They have been brought into God's marvelous light. But there are different steps in that knowledge of grace and of faith. And there are fathers, there are young men, and there are little children. There is a bride. There are virgins and upright, and there are daughters of Jerusalem, but now also that bride. Then there are different conditions in the life of that bride. We see that throughout the Song of Solomon. In one time, that bride that is longing, and another time, that bride, she is sleeping. Thus, we read of the states of man, and we read of the steps of grace, and we read of the conditions that are in the life of God's children. And what is now the condition? Because we have heard that this is a living soul. This is a soul that is given grace. This is a soul that has been led unto the further steps of grace. Now, this is also a soul that is in a particular condition. And what condition is this soul in? Well, we read that it is that this soul is inquiring, that it is longing, that it is hungering, that it is thirsting after the bridegroom. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Where does that love come from? Children, do you also have that love? Do you also have such a desire, young people? Do you also have such a desire that you say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth? Oh, that is not a desire that we have by nature. Oh, where does that come from? That desire comes from the Lord himself. What does the Apostle John write? He says, we love him because he first loved us. That will be the testimony of that true church of God. And therefore, this love of the bride, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This love of the bride is the fruit of the work of grace in the life of that true church of God. That love of the bride. And that is not something that is coming out of the natural heart of man. But that love of the bride, that is an effect. That is an effect of the love that is bestowed upon them. By nature, congregation, we have no such love. By nature, when we would truly see, receive eyes from the Lord to see who that we are, oh, then we shall see what the reality is of our life. And what is the reality of our life? That is that I am a hater of God, that I am a hater of my neighbor, that I have but self-love. When mine eyes are holding from seeing who and what I am, and then it is possible that my heart thinks that it is not so bad. No, that I have love for God, and that I have a desire for spiritual matters. But when the Lord will open our eyes, then he will show to us that we have but a form of religion. Then he will show to us that within our hearts there is nothing but dead men's bones that are lying underneath a whited sepulchre, so that a man begins to loathe and to humble himself before God. No, by nature we have no such love. But when a man is found, when he is found lying polluted in his own blood, and when he is spoken unto by that Spirit of the Lord, when the Lord says to him, live, and when that life that is planted in his soul, and when the Lord will wash his children, when he will anoint them with that holy oil, and when he will engraft them into himself, when he will be married unto them, oh, then that love, that affection of their heart that will begin to go out after him. Oh, the church is ever. He is ever going to magnify and glorify God as the Alpha and the Omega, as the beginning and the ending. That is not only for the first time in their life, but that will also be by renewal in their life, time and time again, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh, what a longing, what a desire that we hear in the heart of this bride. That is a longing that is of great strength. But it is a longing that is not stronger than the longing that that bridegroom has for his bride. Oh, just as his love, that was the first love, which is drawing her heart unto him, so also his longing is a longing that is far exceeding hers in strength. It is a longing that is so strong that he was willing to leave the place of his glory. That is a longing that is so strong that he was willing to give himself even unto death in his active and his passive obedience for that rebellious church. And there is a longing that those disciples may hear of also from his own mouth, when he says with desire, oh, with strong desire, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you. For a church of God that is so unfathomable, why? Because their love that waxes so often so cold, because they leave him so often days without number. And if it was not the Lord who returned, and if it was not the Lord who poured oil upon that fire, oh, then that fire in their heart that would go completely out. But that bride is experiencing time and again the faithfulness of that bridegroom. Oh, that he greatly desires her beauty so that she may say, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Oh, for the church that is so unfathomable. She says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh, no, she does not ask if she may kiss him. No, the love of that bride that is experienced to be the fruit of the love of that bridegroom. And what does she do? She is asking him if he will come from his side once again, because from her side, everything can be so cold and so barren. But oh, when he will come again, then he will kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh, then my heart that shall overflow with love unto my bridegroom. Oh, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Who? Children. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let who kiss me? The bride does not say. She just says, let him. And why is that? Well, because for that bride, there is only one him. That bride does not feel that she has to say his name. There is no equal to her bridegroom. There is no match to her bridegroom. Oh, there is only one who is so excellent and so lovely in her eyes. There is only one whom she esteems so very, very highly. That is not strange in the Word of God. So we read that David says the same. He says, his foundations are in the holy mountains. So Isaiah says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Oh, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For that bride, there is only one him. Is that so also for you people of the Lord? Oh, is your heart so reserved only for that one him? Oh, does he dwell so supreme and so high in your estimation? Is he the only object of your heart's desire? Oh, have you only a single eye, his name to glorify? Oh, has your soul been taught your need for him? Has your soul been shown his beauty, his preciousness, his suitability for your own case? Or is your love a shared love? Is your love shared with all the gods of this world? Is the world also dwelling in your heart? What did Elijah say? He says, if the Lord be God, then serve him. But if Baal, then serve him. What did the Lord complain of Judah? He said, my people, they have turned unto me, but feignedly, and not with their whole heart. What do we read? What have we read together in his law? That the Lord is a jealous God. And when the Lord is drawing the heart of his people, oh, then he is giving them that their desire that may be
only upon himself. He says, I will give them an heart that they might know me, that I am the Lord, and I will be their God, and they shall be my children, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Oh, that is the voice of that bride. Oh, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh, let him kiss me. What does that show? What are her thoughts? What are her meditations? It is, as it were, a supplication. Oh, she is breaking out in a sudden. She is breaking out in a moment. And then the meditations that are in her heart, they are showing herself. They are manifesting themselves in this world. Thus it shows what that bride is meditating upon. It shows what that bride is thinking upon. Oh, it shows what is the habit of that bride to meditate upon. And then she assumes that everybody else that is going to understand her, oh, let him kiss me. Oh, is that not also the meditation of your heart? Oh, and how is it possible that your heart, and that it might not see his beauty and his loveliness, that he is altogether lovely? Oh, so the apostle says, if ye be risen with Christ, oh, then seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God, and not those things on the earth, that it may be the practice of that church. Oh, that the longing also may go out with the bride. Let him kiss me. Oh, what a great contrast. Let him kiss me. Oh, what a contrast between him and me. By nature, that is not such a great contrast. And why is that not such a great contrast? Because we don't know him, and we don't know me. Because we do not know God. Because we do not know him in his majesty. Because we do not know him in his greatness. Because we do not know him in his justice. Because we do not know him in his love, in his mercy, in his grace. Because we do not know him in his Son. Oh, we do not know him in his work. Because we do not know the filth and the corruption and the pit of iniquity that lies within our own heart. Oh, then there is not such a great contrast between him and me. Oh, no. Then we do not understand why that the Lord does not receive us unto himself. We do not understand why that the Lord does not receive all the works of our hands. We do not understand why he does not receive from us the good intentions of our heart. Because we do not see and we do not feel the great contrast that there is between him and me. But what is now the instruction of that Holy Spirit of the Lord? That is to give me self-knowledge. That is to teach me who I am. And that is to show me the greatness and the majesty and the holiness and the justice of the Lord. That is to teach me who my judge is. That is to show me who that mediator is. And the more that I am instructed by that Holy Spirit, the more that he will increase and the more that I will decrease, so that the church that is learning to put their eyes only upon the ground and to smite upon their breast, oh, that the church is learning to say, well, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Oh, and then the church that is learning to supplicate with the bride, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh, what is she asking for? What does she want? That is our second thought. What the bride is longing for, we would say, maybe young people, that is the bride. That is the church of God.
Are they not a blessed people? Do you see them as such? Or are they not a people who have everything? Are they not a people that have been taken out of this world, out of the desire of this world? Are they not a people that have been elected? Are they not a people that have been married, that have been engrafted? Or are they not a chosen people? Are they not a blessed people? Are they not a happy people? Are they not a people that have everything? Are they not a people whom my soul that is so jealous of? Oh, I hope so. That your heart may be so jealous of the people that it is ready to forsake the world and every former friend. Say, what can now that bride want more when she is married unto that bridegroom? Well, let us ask the brides. Let us ask the wives in our midst. Those that are married, what a great blessing, that marriage. Now we would say, what could you want more? Well, then if your husband would withdraw himself and would be gone for quite some time, or when your husband would not turn to speak unto you, or then is that marriage enough for you? Indeed, that is a blessed thing. It is a blessed thing when there are things that we are not able to deny in your life in a spiritual way. It is a blessed thing when we may be led, when we may be taken out of nature's darkness, when we may be born again, when we may be given a new heart. Oh, it is a blessed thing when we may speak about how that the Lord has led us from step to step in those steps of grace. And yet there is a bride for whom it is not enough. And why? Oh, because then a wife, she has a desire also to hear the voice of her husband. Then she has a desire also that she may experience his presence. Then she wishes to hear what he has to say. She wishes to feel something of the tokens of his love. Oh, then it is not alone the love, but that that love may be made manifest to me. Husbands, you have taken to yourself a wife. You have taken her from a loving home. You have taken her from her loving father and mother who have brought her up and who have looked after her welfare. And now the apostle says, husbands, love your wives. And in the order of nature, then it is the love of the husband, the love of the bridegroom that is going unto the wife. And that love of that man that is drawing the heart of that woman. Thus, that ought not to be only the first drawing of that love, but so it ought also to remain in your life, that your love that is going before to draw the heart of your bride, that your love also may be made manifest in your life. And how is that love made manifest? Oh, that love that is coming out of your heart, that is made manifest in your words, and that is made manifest in your understanding, that is made manifest in your care, that is made manifest in your compassion, in your sympathy, in all of her weakness, in all of her labors. Oh, your bride, she is looking for your approval.
She is yearning for the manifestations of your love when it is well. Thus, that ought not to be withheld by you. Oh, what use is a love if it does not manifest itself? That is now the longing of the bride in our text. Oh, let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. A kiss that is an expression of love. So that bride that is not only desiring his love, but that bride that is desiring the tokens of his love. The bride that is desiring the sensible manifestations of his love in her life from day to day. Oh, that she might feel something of the favor of her bridegroom in her soul. You say, does the bride of Christ have to ask him for this? Is he such a husband that he is not bestowing upon her, that he is not manifesting unto her the tokens of his love? Oh, that is not so. But he has such a bride that is a wanderer. He has a bride that is going from grove to grove. He has a bride that is continually straying away from him. He is a bride that is continually playing the harlot. Then it is not because he does not have a desire to manifest himself, but it is because in his wisdom, then he needs to draw his bride. So it is necessary for him to withdraw himself from his bride. Oh, then it is necessary for him to say, I will return and I will go unto my place until they acknowledge their transgression and they seek my face. But when he is doing it, at the same time, he is drawing her. In their affliction, they shall seek me early. Then she is causing that bride to yearn. She is causing that bride to hunger in the famine. Or she is causing that bride to cry after the tokens of his love. Oh, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. She cannot miss him any longer. Are there those also in our midst that cannot miss him any longer, that miss the demonstrations of the love of that heavenly bridegroom? Oh, a Christ, whom you are not a stranger unto, that you say, oh, if I could receive but a little token once again, as a wife does desire to know that her husband loves her. Oh, do you ask why he hides himself from you? Then you ought not to look upon him, no, but then you ought to look upon yourself. Oh, no, then you are not a stranger in the days gone by of what that love of that bridegroom is. Where is now the cause? Oh, the cause that is lying within that bride herself. That is her own sin that is making separation between Christ and her soul. Joseph's bowels, they were moved. Oh, he had a desire. That desire was so strong that he may reveal himself, that he may show himself unto his brothers, that he may say, I am Joseph. Oh, and yet he withdrew. He restrained himself. Why? It was not the right time. No, those brothers, they were not yet in the right place. Then he had so much labor to do. He had so much work to do with his brothers. And then when they came to that place, they said, God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants.
Oh, what did he do? He said, I am Joseph. He revealed himself. And then what do we read? He kissed all his brethren. Oh, he gave to them a kiss. It was a kiss of his mouth. It was a kiss. And there was a token of reconciliation. It was a kiss that was a token of his love, a token of his forgiveness. The work of the Holy Spirit to show unto his people their transgressions, that they might seek the kiss of his reconciliation. Oh, with such a kiss, then they are restored into favor. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. But congregation, how is it now with us? Oh, are we satisfied? Satisfied with a form? Satisfied with a custom of religion? But have no desire, no longing after this King of the church, the bridegroom of the church, no pressing need that we may have the approval of the Lord, no pressing need that we may be reconciled unto God, that we never feel it to be the misery of our life, that we are a stranger to the covenants of promise, that we are without hope and without God in this world. Oh, that we could not live anymore without the favor of the Lord, that we might seek the kisses of that heavenly bridegroom. Let us sing Psalter 116, 1 through 4. As pants the hart for cooling streams when heated in the chase, so longs my soul, O God, for thee and thy refreshing grace. 1 through 4 of Psalter 116. Thank you. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That is not just one kiss that is desired by this bride, but it is in the plural. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Then it shows that she desires much of that love. Then it shows how highly that she esteems that love. Oh, that she needs that love to be manifested unto her soul time and time again, that there may be a fresh discovery of it. And why? Because her sin. Because her sin that is separating herself from God over and over. Because she has such vivid views of her own unworthiness. Because that wonder that is becoming greater and greater, if it should ever truly be in my life, oh, then she desires from time to time a fresh token, and that the Lord would give me the assurance that it indeed, that it is His unchangeable love. Oh, show me, Lord, a token for good. Oh, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. And that shows to us in how many ways that the Lord, He is manifesting the love of God unto His church. Oh, how does He do that? Do you ask the two young people, how does the Lord show it? How does the Lord give them to feel something of that love? Or how do they experience such a kiss from the Lord? Oh, the Lord manifests that love when He speaks to them. Because when the Lord with power in their soul is coming with His holy word, then what does He give them to experience? Then He gives them to experience that barrier, that wall between God in their soul, that great gulf, that is taken away. Oh, that He is willing to have communion even with such as they are. That He has taken away that curse, that He has removed that separation. That He speaks to them, and that He speaks to them not the judgments that they so justly deserve, but that the Lord is speaking to them in the way of mercy. And now such is the longing of this bride. Oh, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Lord, let me hear thy voice. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Oh, how does He do it? He does it by speaking and giving unto them a promise, by binding Himself unto His own word, that is to be merciful unto such a wretched and a miserable sinful creature as they are. Oh, do you not know such kisses by the Lord, people of the Lord? Oh, then He says, in all their missing and in all their longing, and that He will go before them and that He will give them rest. Oh, then He says in their repentance, then He says in their sorrow, and then He says in the fear of condemnation, my covenant will I not break, neither will I alter that thing that has gone out of my lips. Oh, then He gives to them to plead. He gives them a grounds to plead upon His own promise, to say, Lord, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Oh, then they may experience something of the kisses of His mouth. Oh, and He may give them comfort in their soul. When He may fill their soul with peace and rest. When He may lead them to beside the still waters of free and sovereign grace. And when He may enlighten them in that new covenant. And that He may show to them the great freeness for those who have no money, that it is without price. Oh, how does He manifest Himself? Oh, how does He kiss them with the kisses of His mouth? Then He gives them strength in that warfare. In that warfare that they are not able to fight in their own strength. And with that knowledge, that they are not able to overcome, not the slightest temptation. How that he is teaching their hands to war and their fingers to fight, and that he is himself destroying that enemy. Oh, how is he kissing them? Oh, he is uplifting them in their despondency. When everything seems to be against them, that they may feel something, how that underneath are his everlasting arms. Oh, is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that that bride, oh, she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Is that not so very necessary for that bride? Is it not so very precious unto that bride? Is there now anything in this whole world that is able to compare unto those kisses of that greater bridegroom, unto a wretched and a poor sinner? Is there anything that is able to give a man more joy and peace and rest in his soul than to be kissed by the Lord himself? Or is there anything that is able to make man more a stranger and a pilgrim in this world? And to make him to seek a city that has foundations. Oh, congregation, how is it? Oh, how is it? By nature, what are we seeking? We are seeking, when we are honest with ourselves, with all our religion, when we are honest and we are seeking the kisses of this world. And actually, we are willing to transgress that holy law of God, that we might have the kisses of men in this world, but they are kisses of deceit. They are kisses of guile. Oh, they are kisses as that Judas, as he has betrayed that Son of Man with a kiss. Do you know what Satan does, young people? He comes like Joab. Joab came to Amasa, and he came to him to give him a kiss. But what we read Amasa, he took no heed to the sword that was in the hand of Joab. And then with a kiss, he has spilt his blood. That is now the work of that prince of darkness. Oh, what profit was it that Judas may have the kisses of all that Sanhedrin, that we may have the kisses of everyone that is in the church. But it ended for him in complete despair. But what does a man lack? What does a man lack in this world when he has a kiss from the Lord? What is then all the fury of man when we have one kiss out of heaven? Oh, then the Apostle Paul, he says, afflictions and bonds, they await me in Jerusalem. But he says, none of these things move me. Oh, why not? Because he was kissed with the kisses of his mouth. And then Stephen can pray for his enemies as the stones, they are coming against him. Why? Because he is kissed with the kisses of his mouth. O congregation, is this also our desire? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Do you know what we read of Esau? Esau said to his father, he says, Father, hast thou one blessing, my father? O hast bless me also, my father. But it was not a desire from the Lord. No, he wanted a blessing too. But it was the wrong blessing. He wanted the benefits. Congregation, we all desire the benefits. Let us examine our own heart. It was so different with Jacob. Though he was wrong in his deeds, or there was something else that lay in his heart, could not do without the favor of the Lord. Oh, let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. The last kiss, people of the Lord. That is now the best assurance in your heart. How long has it been since you have received a kiss from the Lord? And how long can you leave it be ere you receive another kiss from his mouth? Oh, for this he will be inquired of, he says, by that house of Israel. May the Lord revive his own work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy to the upbuilding and to the welfare of the church and to the glory of his own name. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give us this desire. It is the desire of thy bride. It is the desire of thy church. She is not a stranger of those kisses out of thy mouth, but Lord, it can be so long that thou hidest thy face because of her sin. O draw her again, and that her heart may go out with holy longings, and that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place, and that thou may look upon thy people, that thy bowels may be moved, and that thou may say, I am Joseph, and that they may receive a kiss from thy mouth. O, work it again, Lord. Look upon us in mercy as a congregation. O, give a blessing and a holy jealousy in the hearts of our dear young people and our children, that their hearts may desire also not the kisses of this world that are so deceitful and vain, that will end in an eternal despair, but that the kisses of thee, the Most High God and of thy dear Son, who has come to seek and to save that which is lost, oh, that it may be the desire of their hearts. Look upon us in the rest of this day. Look on him that must lead here in this afternoon hour. Lord, help and strengthen him from above, and that thy Spirit may be here, and that thy blessing may rest upon and be with us also. And when we go to serve the other part of our congregation, Lord, strengthen us in body and mind and soul together, and give us a good day together in thy mercy. Look on us also in the week to come. Wilt thou spare, watch over, and protect each and every one. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 228. 1, 2, and 3. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. Our shield and great defender, no longer hide thy face, but look upon thy servant, anointed by thy grace. All stanzas of Psalter 228. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.